Good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. I know it was a cold trek out here today, but glad you all can make it. We have some announcements for this week. There's no youth group this week. There is Sunday school and confirmation are restarting on January 8th. The Christmas Eve candlelight service is on December 24th. That's Saturday at 6 p.m. Stavanger's annual meeting will be on January 8th following worship service, and caramel rolls will be served after the meeting. It says there's going to be coffee today, but there is not going to be coffee today, so sorry to disappoint. And the offering plate is at the back of the church for the Deacon Caring Fund, where we gather money to help those who are in need in the church. Let us have our call. Oh, no, sorry. There is a video we're going to watch today, rather. It is from Voice of the Martyrs. It's called Burned But Not Destroyed. And yeah, there's a little insert in your bulletins that tells you a little bit more about this and how you can pray for the different parts of different people around the world that are being persecuted. Our brothers in the faith often face that persecution. So now we'll just watch a little video on this and resume afterwards.
My name is Rebecca. I live in the north of Nigeria. One evening I was out with my daughter, and on our way home we saw smoke rising above our village. We were under attack. My husband and I were married in that village. Some members of our church gave us a wedding gift. It was a Bible. We read it together, every day. Our children were old enough, we read it to them. On the day our village burnt to the ground, my husband and my son were killed in the attack. Some of us were able to return to our village to reclaim anything that was left. I still use this Bible. It reminds me of God's faithfulness. Naked I came from my mother's womb, but naked I shall return there. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is a husband to all widows. I look to him for every need. This is what I am still holding on to.
Certainly remember to pray for our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world as we remember how nice we have it here. And let us have our call to worship now. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come and gather here today, Lord. We thank you that you have blessed us in this nation and in Canada as well, Lord, that we have been able to enjoy much peace. And Lord, we pray and our hearts go out to our brothers and sisters in lands where there's violence and many dangers for believing in Christ, Lord. We pray that your church here could continue to support them and give them Bibles and what they need and other resources, Lord. Lord, we pray that as we enter this worship service today, you would just open our hearts again to hear your words, that we could just look to you for all the goodness that you provide and your faithfulness. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, as we start to light the wreath here. The candle lit on the Advent wreath is called the Angel's Candle. In the Bible, we read of angels serving as God's messengers. An angel brought God's message for telling Jesus' birth first to Mary and later to Joseph. Again, it was an angel of the Lord who announced to the shepherds that the Savior had been born. Like angels, we also are God's messengers to bring the good news of Jesus to others. Now, reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 19. The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." Thank you very much. Now let us rise to worship our Lord in song with a singing of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
Okay, you may be seated for our second song, Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Please rise if you are able for the confession of our sin. If you want, you can follow along in the bulletin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, have has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Please remain standing now for our confession of faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Seated, and I invite Kathy Thompson to come up for our reading of Scripture.
I'll be reading from 1 Romans verses 1 through 7. Paul, as a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the gospel, to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much. Let us come before the Lord again in prayer. Our good and gracious Father, Lord, we are thankful that we can again and again hear of your salvation and that you've provided in Christ, Lord. As we come up to this Christmas season, Lord, we come up to Christmas Day almost, Lord, we pray that you would again open our hearts to think about the amazing glory that it is that you have come to dwell among us and to be a man like us, Lord, for the sake of your love for us and the salvation you desired. Lord, we pray that we would take this to heart, that your Spirit would transform our lives to glorify you in all that we do, Lord, that we can rest in that mercy that you have showered upon us, and that we can share that mercy with others and share that love with others. Father, open our hearts now to hear God's word proclaimed by Pastor John. Give him the strength that he needs, Lord. Lord, as we continue throughout this week, we know that many people are struggling with different ailments and issues in their lives, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'd be with them all, that you'd send your Spirit, your Comforter, to give them strength that they need in this Christmas season. We pray for those who might be feeling lonely as we come close to Christmas, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen them as well. Lord, just grant us all this by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
invite Pastor John to come up.
Well, I think if there's one more announcement we didn't get into the bulletin or list out loud, is that Betty Sterling passed away this week, and her funeral is scheduled to be here at Stavanger tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So our sympathies to family of Betty Sterling. I'd like you to rise as you're able for the reading of our gospel passage for today from Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, I read in Jesus' name. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Have you ever made a plan for something, thought it through, had your hopes kind of set on how these things would turn out, only to have it just fly into a million pieces right before your very eyes? If you hadn't had that experience, you certainly would have if you were trying to plan a wedding during COVID. We did that not once, but twice. About 3 years ago this time, we were trying to work out how to do a wedding for our oldest daughter. That involved four countries on three continents, and each with their own travel restrictions and COVID requirements. And gathering do's, mostly gathering don'ts. Yeah, plans. We planned, that didn't work. We replanned, that didn't work. We planned again, and that didn't work. And finally, we just had the service in our living room with immediate family. They got married. That was not pleasant, not convenient, but it certainly doesn't compare to what our man Joseph was facing. Joseph had plans to marry Mary. Good enough. But then something happened, and the plans just went out the window. Marriage customs, as you may have heard, were different in their day and place than they are here. Some similarities, but some very marked differences. It says Joseph was betrothed or pledged to be married to Mary. Or Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, Jewish wedding customs of that time, I'm told, it was a kind of a three-stage process that perhaps even when they were children, the parents would get together and say, I think this would be a good arrangement. Or maybe they'd have a professional matchmaker do the work. If you've seen Fiddler on the Roof, you have some idea what we're talking about here. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find. Catch me a... Thank you. Wouldn't have to go home wondering what the rest of the lyrics were. And this would go to a point, and then there would come when perhaps the young woman was somewhere between the ages of 12 and 14, maybe no older than 16. Michaela, how old are you? 14. Perfect. There we go. Ready to get married? Right answer. And perhaps the man would be maybe 18 to 20 years old. So he needed to come up with some cash for the father of the bride to be. When they got to this age, then there would be this kind of official betrothal. And it was more than our engagement. They were considered legally married after this betrothment. Money was put down, a legal contract drawn up. And at that point, we're told the couple had to give their consent to go forward with this. Yes, the parents did, or the matchmaker did the arranging initially, but normally they weren't forced into it if they really didn't want to. And then there was a period of about a year in this betrothal time where they are considered legally married, but they do not come together. They do not have marital relations. They do not know one another as Adam knew Eve when she conceived and bore their first son. No, this was a time they lived separately. The bride-to-be remained in her father's household, but they were considered married. And in order to dissolve this, they actually had to have a legal divorce. And if the husband-to-be would die, she was considered a widow at this point. This is how serious this betrothal situation was. And that's where we're at when Mary was found to be with child. And Joseph knew it wasn't his. This is not what Joseph had planned at all. She was found to be with child. And we could just stop right there. Because at this point, Joseph doesn't know how this child came to be. All he knows is what most of us know from human experience. It takes two to produce a child. And Joseph knew it wasn't him. And up to this point, the possibility of a woman being with child, apart from knowing a man, that was just not on anyone's radar screen. So Joseph is faced with a dilemma. His plan to marry Mary isn't going to work, because he can only assume that she had been in an adulterous relationship with another man, and it would not be right, it would not be fitting for him to marry her at this point. Not to mention how he might be struggling with some feelings that he had toward her before all this came up. And how could he be so betrayed? How could he be so wrong? Can you imagine in the small town how the tongues would be wagging? Mary had gone away to visit her relative Elizabeth, and she comes back some months later pregnant. So Joseph is faced with this really bad situation, these two bad choices. Go ahead with the marriage, it just doesn't seem right. How can he trust her? He would defile himself because of what his he presumed happened. Or divorce her, and the Old Testament penalty for what Mary was presumed to have done would be death. By Joseph's and Mary's day, when this was happening, there was also the possibility that he could simply just divorce her legally and move on without making a public spectacle. And that's exactly what he wanted to do. He still had care for her. He didn't want her to be publicly disgraced. He certainly didn't want her to be put to death. So he made a new plan. What do you do when your plan goes to pieces? You make a new plan, right? To move forward. Got to make the best of this. We got to move on. We got to do something. So he had it in his mind to just quietly divorce her. To try to do... He's in damage control mode now. And sometimes that's where we're at, right? We can't fix it, but we can just try to limit the damage and move on as best we can. What if you're handed in life lemons? What do you do? Make lemonade? Yeah. Problem is, Joseph didn't have any sugar to add to it. It was still pretty sour. But that's where Joseph's plans get interrupted by God's path. God had something different in mind. God had something much bigger and better in mind. Something that really must have blown Joseph's mind. The Lord had to send an angel that appeared to Joseph in a dream to let him know what was going on. We're not sure what Mary had said to Joseph. She had had already her own visitation by an angel to let her know what was going on. And you can about imagine how well that story would have played. Young woman saying, "Oh yeah, by the way, I'm having a baby and this is how it's happening." At best, they would have thought Mary just to be delusional. And Joseph is left before this dream thinking, okay, I'm either a laughingstock and viewed as foolish or worse than Mary, or what? And then comes the dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Wow. Joseph, son of David. The angel starts out by reminding Joseph of his family tree and of the promises God made to that David of long ago. Perhaps almost 1,000 years prior to this event, this angel interrupting Joseph's sleep, lived King David, a great king in Israel, one that God made promises to someday, someone from your family, David, will be a king that'll have a kingdom that'll never end. Great David's greater son, the Messiah, the Christ. Joseph, son of David, the word of God is already being planted into Joseph's head. It's being called out by the Holy Spirit through this messenger, hearkening back to the promises God made in his word. You see, that's where, when we are faced with situations that don't make sense, where God takes us to take us forward. Jesus, later, after his crucifixion and resurrection from the dead, as he's walking with two of his followers who don't recognize him, that very evening that he rose from the dead. They're trying to make sense out of all this situation. They had just witnessed their Lord, the one they'd put their hopes in, the one they had thought was the Messiah, the one, the deliverer, and he was executed like a common thief before their own eyes. And then there's reports that the tomb is empty, and that that some said that they had seen him, that he's alive, and they just didn't know what to make of it. And what does Jesus do? He takes them to the Word. He begins telling them from Moses and all the prophets how the Christ must suffer and then rise again from the dead. The angel reminding Joseph that he's the son of David, I think, is in effect reminding him of the promises made to David that there is a Messiah coming, and this is going to be big news. This is going to be something they had not seen before. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And Matthew now chimes in verse 22 as the narrator of this account. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah in this case. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew's readers, hearers, even us, have to be pointed back to God's Word, God's promises, the God who makes promises and keeps his promises, who's not slow to keep his promises. Even though it may be over the course of centuries, God does not forget. I can forget what I had for breakfast before it's digested. God doesn't forget his promises. And that's why we have the precious gift of his Word, which contains these promises. These promises that he will send Jesus, whose name means the Lord saves. Why call him Jesus? Because he'll save his people. Martin Luther commented that the greatest miracle of Jesus' conception in the womb of a virgin named Mary was not that the physical miracle of the conception. That certainly that is a miracle. He believes the greatest miracle is that when Mary was told this is going to happen, she believed it. Faith comes, we're told in the Scriptures, from hearing the Word of God. Paul writes in Ephesians that you too were included when you heard the Word of truth and believed. Joseph is now being invited to believe. To believe and to act according to that belief, that promise. His plans and his rebooted plans, they were not going to get him where he needed to be. They were not going to be a part of the salvation coming through the Messiah. Now, his plans and our plans, they need to take a back seat. If anything, we were taught during those pandemic years and all the fallout from it is that we're not in control. And even those who think they're in control and have positions of power are not in control. But the Scriptures remind us there is one who is in control. And his name is Jesus. His name is salvation, rescue, deliverance. His name is God with us. Those are good names to have together. Because a Savior who's distant doesn't do us much good where we are here in the mess. And a God who is with us but not able to save, well, that's nice, like a Hallmark Christmas movie, but it doesn't save you. But if you have a God who saves and is with you, there you have something. You have Jesus, God with us. And so when Joseph woke up from the dream, praise God, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. He had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Praise God, we have a God who is not hindered by our plans or our ability, or our inability to put it back together when it falls all apart. But he has a path, his own plan, which he established before the foundation of the world. And that plan includes you. Paul writes to the Ephesians chapter 1, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." That is God's path that he had in mind all before Joseph faced his little problem. And God delivered the good news to him in a dream. And his good news continues to be delivered whenever we hear his word proclaimed, and whenever he uses us to be the angel and messenger to point people back to the word which points to Jesus, our Savior. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for breaking in to our lives when our plans go to pieces. And like all the king's horses and men, we can't put Humpty together again, the Humpty Dumpty of our way, the world we think the world should be. Thank you, Lord, for showing us your good and perfect will to enter our mess and to become broken yourself to put us back together, to be our God with us. May we trust you and do what you say, just as Joseph did, and more so, just as Jesus did. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Please rise for our closing chorus.
Oh,
Receive now the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.